This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly. What you're about to hear is part two of an interview that we did last year with Large Professor. But first, we wanted to mention our compatriots at NPR Music, Alt Latino. Jasmine Garst and Felix Contreras weekly dive into the world of Latin alternative music and culture and put you on to sounds like psychedelic tropical music from the jungles of Peru and Mexican folk rhythms mixed with electronica. You can hear from the Latino artists changing and challenging the established order every week on Alt Latino from NPR Music at npr.org/podcasts and on the NPR One app. And now, Large Professor.
Can I go back to, I know you probably have some questions.
I'll get there.
I wanted to ask, going back a little bit, on Mad Scientist.
Yes.
Why did you repeat the verse?
Repeat the verse.
And the third verse.
It was like the exclamation point. It was like, all right, we're not going to keep going with this, like, because I'm a little angry, or maybe I'm a little mad, or not even angry. I'm just a little mad, like, maybe a little out of my mind, but I'm not, right, but I'm not angry. Like, I'm not, like, oh, I want to go out into the world, like, on some psych. No, it was none of that. It was just like, and you know what, and... Let me repeat this for you because, you know, this I'm not, like, going on and on about why I'm upset. Like, oh, and furthermore, this is why I'm, you know, it was just like, let's bring you back to the origin of this and just, like, and then a lot of times, like, on the tapes, they would do that. Like, I remember that style, like, where they would do that. Like, some dudes would run their rhymes just over and over. You would hear different tapes and it would be the same rhyme over and over. Like, so it was just like, yeah, that right there, that old style. Right there.
I like that. It just felt like passionate. Like,
yeah.
Yo, in case you didn't.
Right, in case you didn't catch that. Right, definitely.
With the LP album.
Yes.
Did that not come out? That didn't come out. That was like the crazy, you just had to know somebody to know somebody that just passed you the tape or.
Yes.
What was, and I'm asking because I want to know what your experience was, you know, from dealing with record companies and from where it was now to where you are now, you releasing your own records.
Yes.
So can you explain, like, what happened with that album?
Yes, definitely. With that album was supposed to be the coming of the Large Professor, and it was like, all right, the guy from Main Source. But it was kind of crazy because I was coming off a little bit of bad energy. I was keeping my hip hop vest on, and I wasn't looking at it professionally. I don't think, you know, because even like the verse that I kicked on Al Joint on the Tribe Joint, I was just a little where I was with it. I was on the rebellious tip, like on just that rebel vibe, just like, yo, man. This is your world, and you know that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, how I was doing it at that time, like I was just holding on to that. And what was happening in the industry at that time was like a lot of dudes were like, "Hey, we're just happy to be here. We flossing. Life, you know, things are good, and we got the CD deck with the mansion kind of thing." And here I am. I'm like, P, the industry is getting good now. Like, dudes are getting big deals. And I'm like, yo, nah, but let's not. It was kind of like Rocky where, you know, he was kind of getting like a little lofty, you know, with it. And he was just like really just chilling. And it was like, you know, he got knocked out, and, you know, Apollo Creed had to come, like, nah, you got to get hungry. Like, I just always wanted to stay hungry. Like, even though I had, you know, I was doing great, you know, but I didn't just want it to be like, oh, I got this, and you don't have that. Mm-hmm. You know, yo, I got the house now, and I don't like that style of rap, even to this day. Like, that's not 100 to me. Like, I don't like that at all. Like, that's not hip hop. It's like, we were always on the each one teach one kind of thing. You know, like, I also studied earlier in my life, like the Nation of Islam, the 5% lesson. So it was just always, that's always in my heart. Mm-hmm. So it was like, nah, you can't do that. You can't say, yo, I got and you don't. Like, that's not what we come from. We come from, yo, if I got, you got. Right. Like, that kind of thing. So I didn't like that style of rap. But so just the energy that was going on, like, you know, it was at that time, Puff, Big, mm-hmm. you know, they were out there and just kind of doing it. And that's just not where the industry was at. And the industry matters. The industry, the waves of the industry matter.
In like, what way? What do you mean?
The wave, like at that time, the wave was everyone talk about how much money they have. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So and be clear, so we're talking like 95?
94, 95. 96, yeah, okay. Stuff like that. It was starting to get like, you know, yo, you know, everything's good, I'm chilling, the helicopter, the money, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that. And it's like, you know, I still, to this day, I love rockers, reggae, you know, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, and it's always been rebel music. And that's how I see hip-hop, even to this day. Like, hip-hop is rebel music. You know, it's now, a lot of people don't know the roots and the origin, and it's just like, oh, okay, yeah, we, you know, hip-hop is good, and they're chilling, they, you know, but we know the origin, and it's like, nah, it wasn't always good. Like, we come from where garbage cans were on fire. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You had to breathe that and, you know, just like, just crazy stuff. But I did need to let go, like, because it wasn't like that anymore. It wasn't like that mm-hmm. anymore. It was like, nah, the garbage cans are not on fire anymore, mm-hmm. P. Like, yo, just let that ever go and just, you know, like, that kind of thing. So, but I just always wanted to embrace that. And so it just wasn't time for that album.
So did you stop it from coming out or?
Nah, no. I was recording with, I was working with Geffen Records, and you know they were 100% behind me, but I just think on the checks and balances tip, like it wasn't adding up for them, and they were just like, you know, I got the call one day, and that was crazy to me, because it was like, huh? It was like, oh, Paul, they're going to have to let you go. I was like, wow, like, wow. Like, so, you know, but you just take that, man. You like, yeah, all right, cool. You know, I was chilling, so it was good. But then I wound up being able to put it out later on, because unbeknownst to me, like, there was a really big...
There's a following
desire for that. It was like, yo, what's up? Why didn't, you know, I would get that all the time. Why didn't the record? Why? What? And so it was like, all right, cool. Yo, boom, there it is. And, you know, just surviving that let me know it, like, I learned a lot of life lessons through the industry. Like, a lot of things that you just learn in life, like, you're supposed to learn, like, I learned a lot of lessons through the industry, and that was one of them. It was just like, yo, you gotta, it's a business. It's a business. And God rest my dude, Harry O, big man from Brooklyn, man. Like, we were on tour, and, you know, Jazz, Jay-Z, UMCs, all of us, like, we would be on tour working with EMI, and Harry O would always, like, with his fingers, he would always say, yo, Paul, it's show business. Like, in the show, he would, you know, show that as something small and show the business like as something big. So, and that's definitely what it is. It's a business.
So the albums that came after, mm-hmm. First Class?
Yeah, First Class.
Was that like your distribution or your own? Well, I'm just trying to understand the partnerships your records that came after that.
And right. It's just guys reaching out like, yo, man, we want, you know, that was, I was working with Matador Records, like an indie rock label. And they were like, yo, man, we believe in you, man. And we want to put it out there. And so, you know, because I'm always working. Like, I'm always working. Mm-hmm. I'm always, this is just like kind of keeps me alive. Like, I don't care if a record comes out or it doesn't. I'm like, just, this is just what I do. So, like, they reached out, and it's kind of always like that. It's like, you know, someone will just reach out, like, yo, we want to help you put the record out. And so First Class was with Matador. And then after that, I did a project, Main Source, where some people from Germany were like, yo, man, we would love for you. Because, you know, I'm cool. Like, I do my productions, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm cool with that. But I'm always, like, if a beat, like, I'm always listening, like, yo, man, this is what I would say to that beat. So I always have my songs that I write. And
why are you titled that album Main Source?
It's like graffiti almost. It's almost like graffiti. It's like when you writing on the wall, like you know, dudes would put their crew or click or something like that. And it's like a lot of times, like even with that album, it wasn't like, if people will notice, like I'm kind of doing it like graffiti. It's like you have one title I'm billed as The Large Professor. One I'm billed as Large Professor. One is Large Pro. And this is how we would write on walls, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It would just be like, sometimes you don't write the whole thing out. Sometimes, you know, so it's like main source. And I just all wanted to kind of be just, you know, who I am and you know, just like, yo, that's him, man. Like, that's who he, you know, all that I embody in this music industry. Just like, in like my last project was Professor at Large. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just always like, and that's how we would write on the walls. It would just be like a little caption or a click or something like that. Like, Large Professor, Professor at Large, you know, kind of thing. And just, you know, so that's kind of like the graffiti side living.
Keeping
like
it hip hop.
Yeah, always. Got to.
So, you know, one of the things I liked about, I don't know if it was like something you thought about or it's just, you know, the way the creator works, but one of the biggest songs from Breaking Atoms was a relationship song.
Yes, Looking at the Front Door.
Looking at the Front Door. Yeah. So I listened to like Main Source, your album.
Yes.
And So In Love stood out to me.
So In Love.
And I was like, that's a relationship song.
Yeah. But it's funny because that's the song a lot of people said, yo, you should have ran with that song. And that's funny because that is a relationship song that is written about my relationship with a drum machine.
Wow.
With a drum machine. You did exactly what I want you to. Latitude, longitude. Gotta do the lunch or two. When I'm in the dungeon mood, you lift me out of that. Strings are not attached to our love. But, you know, it's like when you and I combine, you know, and I hit the right circuits. You know what I mean? It's like, or it's like, I think that song later in life. And that's what I know is even how we collect records and we've looked for the rarest record, like I feel these songs will later in life, they'll be heralded as, you know, some good little works there. Like, oh man, this is, you know, one of these generations will catch on and be like, wow, this guy was on something, like, yo, that's cool. You did exactly what I want you to. Latitude, longitude, gotta do the longitude. When I'm in the dungeon mood, you lift me out of that. Strings are not attached to our love. Really what I never knew the power of. Us, rhymes bust, when I'm on you I touch the right circus. I'm with you cause life is a circus. And you're the only thing that's real is how I feel. And the way that we met, shall never forget. Stays cherished, together till the day the names perish and gone. But our achievements will surely rock on the earth. We jump into this game feet first and we wasn't rehearsed, but we were so in love.
I didn't know that. And maybe I need to go back and listen.
Now
a
we can
more.
Go back. Yeah.
That song was getting under you through some hard times.
Yeah, I said under my arm, thunderstorm, like the people, yo, under my arm, like walking on the me it's and you avenue.
So many metaphors in there. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Check it out.
It's laced up.
I might even need, and that's funny because I did two versions of that song and I might need to put that out there because a lot of people came to me about that song. So thank you, brother, man. Thank you.
So then you put out Still on the Hustle.
Yeah.
Which is just the title. Neek, it's just
yeah,
so
yeah,
you.
Still on. No, well, that was actually spearheaded by Neek the Exotic. You know what I mean? Because he's the hustler. Like, I'm just the guy that likes to create, and he's like the hustler. He's out there. He's, you know, getting his hustle on. So, you know, that was cool because to hook back up with him and, you know, that guy, he at that time, man, just like really, he was really right there. And like, you know, now he's good to go from here on. Like, you remember at the times, like when we were doing the cover and, mm-hmm. you know, with Midnight Marauders and everything, like he was still embracing that corner life kind of hard. And so You mean
when you were getting your picture taken for the Midnight Marauders
yes,
cover?
Yes, yes, yes. Neek is on that album. Neek is on the mm-hmm. album cover too. So, you know, and he was still kind of one foot in, one foot out with the street thing. And so, You know what I mean? He had to, but then once we got together for Still on the Hustle, like he was ready. Like he had a more professional mind.
What made you go into that album? It seems like a full on collaboration. So yes. I mean, I don't know. I could be wrong, mm-hmm. but what made you do that like that and present it like that?
It was just time. It was time. It was like, you know, sometimes when you're going out here as a solo artist, you know, people want to see, like, yo, who you with? Right. Like Jay said, who you with? Like, you need more people, you know, that kind of thing. So it was like, you know, I definitely want to show, like, nah, I'm not out here by myself. Like, we still rocking. Like, everything's still good. Everybody's still good. We went through our little hip-hop phases and our little, you know, gripes and arguments, but you know, we got love. Like everybody, you know, we definitely, the root of this is love. And no matter what, there's no one that you went out here and, you know, made moves with that, you know, you ain't got love for me. Like what? Like, and no, it don't go down like that. It's like, nah, we got love for one another. And so, you know, life happens. And along with that, then it's just like, yo, you know what, man? We gotta make this happen, man. So
I like seeing that, like, yes. for you. You know yes. what I mean? Because I know, like, you have so much knowledge and experience, and still just, you know, there's a lot there that you haven't even unleashed, or, you know, like, the catalog of stuff you could go back to. But I don't know about you, but it's like, yeah, the catalog is cool, but I always like starting fresh because I'm still yes, finding sir. Things. And I'm yes, like, oh, yeah. this is crazy.
Yes, sir.
You know, now at 43.
Yes,
so,
sir.
You know, but I just like seeing you in that kind of like collaborative setting presented like that. And I would like to see more of it.
Definitely.
You know,
definitely. Just, I got something nice that I'm, you know, I'm going to output. Seeing our brother,
okay,
you
yeah.
know, I'm just he's yeah, got yeah. some nice things.
I mean, like full on album,
yeah,
like
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You always celebrate with the crew record, like there's one, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Always,
always,
always. Yeah. Always.
Live at the Barbecue yeah. is obviously the most talked about one, obviously yes. because Nas
yes.
was the offspring of that. How important is the crew record?
The crew record is, it's tradition, like it's tradition. It's like pass the mic kind of like, so it's like, I mean, it's not important per se, but it's like, it's just tradition. It's like, yo, who, you know, like, yo, and I got this one there, like he's in the studio, like that's you know, that's like a who's in the house mm-hmm. kind of thing. And it's like we passing the mic. It's like, you know, instead of you shouting out like, yo, we got Cormega in the house, we got Trash, Gaddafi, you know, it's like, nah, these dudes are on the record and, you know, we getting busy kind of thing. Like, that's my thing. I just like to get busy. Like that's, and just put it out there to the world. Like just decorate, you know, and just put them little decorations out there for the world. Like, no matter what, man, just so. Nah, but the crew record is that's just like tradition, like just getting down. Like,
was the first one the symphony?
The first one, well, I mean, we can go back further than that with Spoonie G and the Treacherous Three, and I mean, there are a few, but the one that kind of our age, yeah, definitely the symphony, and it was because those dudes were just fire. Like everyone was their own separate entity and just like on fire at that time. So I think a lot more of the attention, you know, and just more like, wow, like, cause Kool G Rap, Kane, like Master Ace, like it's like, yo, all of these dudes are official. And so that's why that might get the most attention. And the beat was hot and just everything about that record was just like, yeah, this is right.
And the video?
And the video, word, the video too. Like, you know, everyone, they doing the Western settings, but they making sure that they still speaking the language with the gold and everything. I'm like, ah, like, yo. So definitely, nah, that's nice, that's nice.
And then Marley's in the video too.
Marley's in the video playing the piano, like, yo, and Kane, you know, we know the backstory. Kane couldn't make the other video, so he, you know, like, these were the little stories going through the hood, like, yo, you know, Kane, he, you know, something happened where he couldn't make that video, so they had to shoot him separately and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah, so.
Uncle Ralph told us the story.
Ah, that's
it's
real.
It's a really classic.
That's real. That's real. Oh, there's a Ralph. There's a Ralph NPR interview.
Whoa.
Oh, maybe off of a panel.
Yes, he was on
our
panel. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Has anyone ever spit anything that made you go, oh man, I gotta go back and touch up something?
Nas, all the time. Yeah. Nas is like, you know, Nas, man, just always. But then I'm the type of artist that I am, and you know, I know, like, we all have our own ways of doing things. So after a while, that once I really embraced that we're making records now and their compositions and feelings and different feelings, like, you know, I kind of broke out of that mold of hip hop where it's like, yo, that's whack, yo, that's, you know, and yo, that's that kind of thing. Like, I don't go by that anymore, like, because just expression is expression. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, nah, give that a minute and you might just love it. Like, you know, so definitely, like, I'm, you know, but nah, Nas, man.
Yeah, so if you wouldn't mind, mm-hmm. we'd love to talk to you about him and Illmatic.
Yes.
In particular. I was that kid who in the 90s was looking at the liner notes.
Right.
And I would see everybody's name and everything, and I would see your name and, like, I would, like, slowly put two and two together.
Yes.
But I would also see the words Chung King.
Yes.
Over and over and over again. And I, like, would imagine that this was this crazy place where all this wild shit was happening all the time. Is that true?
Chung King was the place, yeah. Chung King was one of the places. Like, Chung King, the location of Chung King was great. The parking was great.
Where was it exactly?
The clientele. Was that Grand Street? It was like Grand Street at that time. It was like a factory almost. Like, I think they had the freight elevator or something like that. So it was like, yo, you going into some, like, where are we going right now? And then you get up there and there's all this hardware on the wall, all these shiny plaques and everything. And the thing I think that made Chung King, I mean, besides being parking there and, like, that not being a crazy busy street, like, there was always parking by Chung King, but the clientele, it's like, yo, who's in the other room? Yo, Apache, yo, Brand Nubian, like, you know, Search, like, you know, just the clientele, Cool J, Old Dirty Bastard is in the other room, like, it's, and then the camaraderie, who's in the other room? Busta Rhymes, Leaders of the New School. So it was just like the creme de la creme, or like the edge, the cutting edge, like, real dudes were there. So, you know, everyone having that mutual respect for one another. You know, you go in, it's like, yo, what's up? Like, I think I forgot who was in when we were doing Nas and stuff, but a few people, like, popped in, like, yo, what's up, man? Like, yo, just gonna sit down for a second and just, like, so it was that was the thing that was dope about Chung King. And it was never anyone that you know, because sometimes that was a little, like, yo, kind of closed session right here, right now, bro. Like, not really, like, that kind. Nah, it was always someone that you, like, yo, nah, yeah, man, you know, grab a seat kind of thing like that. So, yeah, Chung King was dope. Still is, too. Still is.
And so how much time did you spend in Chung King? You had three songs on Illmatic. How many days were you there? Was it always Chung King? Was it elsewhere?
Yeah, no. I mean, we did a few sessions at Chung King. We did a few sessions at Unique. I mean, we were all over the place. Power Play. All kind of things, like, yeah, we were just, I mean, because at that time, I was also kind of, like, on the production tip, just kind of out there, like, in just all of these studios, like, just everywhere, and so it was just anywhere, but Chung King is where we got started. That was Nas's first session. That was his first session. Like, we had been in on Eric B. and Rakim sessions and Power Play and everything, and it was like, all right, cool. And you know, we were kind of trying to do it. Like, he would try to come prepared, you know, you have his little weed or something like that. And like, yo, I, you know, but he couldn't really spread out how he wanted to. Right. But at the first session at Chung King, like, he had the old wives, he had all the weed spread out, his notebooks, like he had everything prepared nicely and just like, you know, and he was sitting back and he was like, all right, put it on the big ones right now. And like, we put it on the big ones. He's like, now let me hear the small ones, dude. You know, all right, till, you know, like he had it all, you know, he learned on 48 tracks. Like, that's what he was recording his demo on. Mm-hmm. So he knew studio etiquette. He knew studio etiquette. He's like, all right, well, how about, you know, all of that. So that was good to see him on that. And he's like, oh, where's the menu so I can order something now in LA? So he was soaking that up. He was definitely soaking that up. And I was just happy to see that because I had seen, you know, to see something from, like, from day one, like, you know, to see him from day one and for him to finally get his shot. And, you know, it was fitting for him, man. Like, he played the role great. Like, he was, like, right there. He knew what to ask for. He knew what to do. He's like, oh, I'd like to hear that on the big ones. And, like, yo, you know, that kind of thing. And what about, like, the one, the Auratone? Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me hear it. Can I hear the vocals on the Auratone? And he knew the name of the speakers and everything. So that was cool.
Can you describe the feeling in New York, like, right after Live at the Barbecue hit and people were looking for him?
I really can't, because as soon as that album hit, I was on planes and buses and trains. They were just like, we need those guys over here fast. Like, and so New York, I was just like, wow. Like, you know, I mean, anytime I would, we were doing a lot of traveling, mm-hmm. So, you know, but anytime I was and we would, you know, be in Midtown or whatever, it would just be like the love was just overflowing. And, you know, then alongside with all the rest of the production that was going on, it was just like crazy. Like, it was a great energy, you know, for hip hop, because we were primed, like we were already like Latin Quarters and everything. Like, that was the first kind of layer of, yo, you know, the colorful, like, where it's kind of the first little, like, all right, we're getting a little bit of money now,
right,
kind of thing, where it's like, yo, we're getting a little bit of money. MC Light, you know, and everyone in Latin Quarters. And now it was just like full-fledged when we were there. It was just like, all right, we get money and we're not going overboard. We're not trying, you know, it's like, we just like, our tech heads, like these drum machines, we need the drum machines. We, you know, it's just, the energy was crazy. It was crazy. People coming to around the way, they looking, yo, this is where he lives. You just see people sitting, random people just sitting around where you live. It's just like, yo, that kind of thing. It's just crazy. Just crazy.
I spoke to Faith Newman also, and she describes it as hearing that song and being like, that's the antidote that we need, because she was feeling like it was getting a little bit too flashy already.
Yeah.
And that, like, that, you know, that New York was very serious and dangerous and just cold outside.
Right.
And like, they, that she needed that type of orator,
right,
on the radio.
Right.
Did you feel like that about what else was on the air? What else was in the clubs?
Nah, I go by momentum. And the momentum of the music was what made it all good. Like, I go by momentum and key. Like, if the key of the record, you know, like a lot of tribe songs, like the key of the record, like the melody, like it brings you up. Like, it brings you up. It's not like, you know, it's like nice tune where it's like, yo, that's right there. So, and at that time, it was a lot, like, you know, like Bonita Applebaum and stuff like that was out there. And it was just like stuff that you could just drift away. Your spirit could just drift away listening to that. Like, and so, you know, and then, you know, but sometimes, like, we had, you know, it was like you have halftime and then you would have, like, It Ain't Hard to Tell, where it's just like, you know, kind of It Ain't Hard to Tell was kind of like what I call, like, the hood bottle popping kind of thing. It's like, because we gritted it up, you know, and he's speaking all of these nice, uplifting words. Nas is like the Afrocentric Asian, half man, half amazing. And, you know, but it's gritty, it's still hood, and but it's just like that uplifting, the human nature is just like really nice. And so, yeah.
Yep. Can you talk about, again, the components of the songs that are on there? I mean, I know that you've told these stories a million times, but I think that what I mean, there, shockingly, there are people out there who've never heard Illmatic,
right?
And who don't understand why the songs work the way that they do,
right?
And so that's kind of what I'm trying to get at, I guess. I've told Ali this before, but my mom like didn't understand hip hop. Like she couldn't like pick out the words. She couldn't understand. And part of it's because their hearing is not great. But I would give her lyric sheets.
Right.
And the two albums I gave her were Low End Theory and Illmatic.
Right.
And she got it. She was just like, once she could understand, it really was like she couldn't comprehend what was happening. She was like, oh my God, these guys are geniuses.
Wow.
And I think Halftime was the song on which she figured it out for real.
Wow.
Which is funny to me because it's also full of specific slang.
Right, yes.
And I was like, how did you know what that was? And she was like, oh yeah, I didn't. I told Ali this story. I didn't know what a shorty was or a Philly. I thought I could have like a little friend go to the store and get me a cheesesteak. And that would be cool. Like, I want that.
Right, right, right.
But I do think that there is something about the music that opens those stories up and makes his words, his lyrics, I want to use the word elucidate, but it's not right. Like, you can hear what he's saying very clearly, despite the fact that there are all
you're these from that school.
Other things happening around.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? Do you do that intentionally?
We're from that school.
Okay.
We're from that school. The enunciation and things like that. Yeah, we're from that school. G-Rap, Rakim. This, you know, he's from that school. So it's the same thing with, that's where we're from. That's where we're from. And just, he molded over that stuff too. Like he really, like coming up, he has some big shoes to fill. Like, you know, you recording in on Rakim's time.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just be some fluff dude. Like, you know, it was like, that was a lot of pressure. And for the stuff that came out, opposed to what we were recording out as demos, like, there was a time we were recording the demos, and then there was, like, a little bit of a hiatus where it was like, all right, what's going on? And then we got back to recording. And in the time that he wasn't recording, like, a lot of real-life things happened. You know, so when he came back to record, it was like this dude was so concentrated. It was just like, wow. So, and all of the stuff that he got on the first go round, like all of the studio etiquette, like all of just the, yo, stand this way and all right, try that sitting down or try that standing up. And, you know, he had all these little things he would do and just all the studio tricks, we really got into that. Like he's from that school, definitely. Mm-hmm. So just to convey clearly, you know, yo, this, you know, that, yeah, definitely.
Do you put him in the mix in a certain way so that he's not swallowed up?
Well, his voice has a nice it has a nice like kind of mid bass kind of thing to it. And it's like the top has like a little bit of a whisper on it. Like he has that blunt, raspy kind of thing to it. So it's like his voice is great. And if you get him on a nice mic, like a 47 or something like that, he's good. Cause he's like an instrument within itself. It's just like, he's good. So he's, you know, he sits perfectly. Like his voice sits perfectly, you know, in the beat, like, and just has its own presence no matter what.
Did you ever think about what type of drum sound you were giving him?
We were just getting busy. Yeah. We were just getting busy. There was no, you know, it was just, yo, this right here. And it was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna lace that. And you know, I would just play it for him. He would be like, oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
And you knew while you were working on it that it was going to be a classic?
I knew he was a classic. Illmatic to me is like a audio book. It's like an audio book to me. I described it once as like a news kind of. Like a lot of the questions that America has are answered in that album. Like if America's like, well, why and what? A lot of those questions are answered in there. Like if they have any questions about, you know, well, with hip hop or, you know, with this way of life, like why? A lot of those answers in there. He speaks on school, on the police, you know, and all of these kind of things. And he kind of explains why. It's like, yo, you know, police always hawking, you know, kind of thing like that. And like, that's why I think the album is heralded like it is, because the spirit of that kind of seeps through no matter what. It's like, it's a lot of information on that album. He's not just on there cat, hat, rat kind of. It's like, yo, and he was in the hallway and he came in, like that kind of stuff. It's like, really, and what happened next? Like that kind of thing. So definitely.
He explains things that happened today.
Today? You saying? Oh, well, always. I mean, he's traveling with his music, definitely. So, I mean, just
I mean, like the questions that he answers, automatic explains the questions that people have about what's happening
today, the root of what is going on today. Like, if, you know, if they were to say, well, why is this like this, or why is this culture, or, you know, a lot of answers. There are a lot of answers there. And it's not irate. It's not like, yo, you know, it's like, nah, simply because this. Like, I went to school and the teacher didn't want to teach me about, you know, my history or, you know, things like that. So it's like a lot of those answers. Like, all right, well, if someone were to ask, oh, well, why only in the projects this have, you know, a lot of those questions are answered right there. So
yeah, for me, I heard that out when I was like 12,
nice,
something like that.
Nice.
And it made me ask questions because of the line, you know, oh my God, I can't even remember how it begins, but just because of Jerome's niece
got shot in the dome piece. That's like, what?
At Jones Beach. And I was like, I know what Jones Beach is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and just the references, like the stuff, like you knew he had knowledge of this world. Like you, because like the regular normal hood dude, you know, like, right, Jones Beach. And to put that together was like, just like, you know, wow, this guy's a poet. Like more than anything, like Nas is a true poet. A true, true poet, like, and just in the rap form, just in the hip-hop rap form.
Yeah. Thanks for taking time to do that, like, on your time and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain who Paul C. was when you met him and what his legacy was and why he is not here anymore?
Right. Paul C., my mentor, the guy who took me to another level and making music. Before Paul C, I was making pause tapes. I was DJing, making tapes. And at the time that I met Paul C, a lot of things were being done on the drum machine. It was like a lot of sampling. You know, that's when sampling was really coming into the forefront. And he was a wizard on the SP-1200, which was the machine at that time. And like to go in the studio, like people would just go in and with their jaws dropping, like, wow, this dude, because he was just so swift with it, like, and just knew what he wanted to do. And the beats would be so funky. But the thing that was so crazy about it was, you know, hip hop, you got black and Latino, you know, everybody thinks hip hop is black and Latino. And then now here's this white guy here sitting there. It's like, wow, like, you made that? And he's like, yeah. And, you know, if you turned around and you heard Paul, like, you wouldn't even, you know, you would have thought you was talking to homeboy from over there at the boat, you know, that kind of thing. So that's what was kind of crazy about it. It was like Paul was, I'm still trying to think of the word, but it's like rare, like Halley's Comet is kind of rare. Like, Paul was like that. Like, he was like, I don't know, and just, but that dude, man, he showed so many people, like, love, and especially me. Like, he was really unique. And I think that's what someone just couldn't handle that. Someone just couldn't handle that with Paul. Like, it was just like, this dude was, because he was getting love. He didn't care about, you know, he wasn't trying to flash or anything. Like, that dude would be exhausted. Like, we would have a session, he would come an hour late, you know, hair all ruffled and crazy and looking, you know, T-shirt, goose bomber, you know, like, yo, fellas, man, sorry about that, man. Like, yo, I had a crazy session last night, man. So, you know, yo, but come on, let's get to it. And just start going, like, and just, like, went to sleep, like, 3 hours earlier than that. And, you know, he's working and flipping it. I'm bringing him the records, like, we bringing him the records, you know, at that time when we first started. And he's like, oh, nah, you can do this. Like, do it like this. And we're like, yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. And he's just flipping and just making this magic for all of these people. But I guess with me, he kind of, like, because I would come in with my records, I would like, all right, this part and that part and that part and that. And he would do what I'm asking him to do. And he'd be like, yeah, that kind of, I like this. This works right here. This works. And he would even like, all right, I would throw this in there. And like, he'd do something in there. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, yo, man, you got to come back to the studio. So, like, he saw something in me. And he was like, yo, man, you got to, like, he would call me late night and be like, yo, got some free time. I would go see him. And that's how I met Organized Confusion, when they were STP. And he was working on an album for them, and it was fire. It was crazy, the album he was working on with them. And you know, he's like, yo, man, this is, and just hooking everybody up and just being hood with it. He was natural with it. It wasn't like it was awkward or anything. Like, he, you know, he puffed his joints and everything. Like, it was, he was just real natural with it, just real natural. And just someone in this world just couldn't cope with that, like, for some reason. Like, Paul didn't, you know, I don't know, man. It's just like, sometimes just people just, you know, like John Lennon's story. It's like, yo, why, man? Like, why couldn't he just live how he wanted to? Like, you just something, like, it gets like that sometimes when people are just, you know, out there and they humble and they shining and they just have this gift. Like, it's just crazy sometimes. And I think that's what happened with Paul. Like, and it's crazy because the night that everything happened and he ascended, I was trying to call him. This was at the time of the New Music Seminar. Mm-hmm. I went to the New Music Seminar the next day and talking to my boy. I'm like, yo, he's like, yo, what's up with Paul, man? I'm like, I was trying to call him yesterday. He's like, yo, you know what, man? Yo, I heard through the grape that Paul, I'm like, oh, man, nah, man. I'm going to call Paul when I get back home, man. And I was calling, no answer. And then I called the studio. And the studio manager, Mick, you know, I answered the phone. I'm like, yo, can I speak to Paul? And Mick just like, well, no, you can't. Paul is dead. I'm like, oh. And it just sent, like, chills into my brain. And, like, ever since then, I was like, nah, well, I got to keep repping my dude, Paul. So I named my production company. It's on Nas, his, you know, on his Nas's record. So we always rep
Paul
for Paul.
Paul C.
S-E-A, yes, Paul C. And that comes from us. We had a mutual love for the Meters albums. And it's funny, because the producer of the Meters albums were Alan Toussaint and Marshall Seahorn, a black dude and a white guy. And they would always mix their names up, like C-Saint and 2C for their production companies. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, in honor of all of that, like Paul C, you know, with the SEA kind of thing, definitely.
Thanks for telling us about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really appreciate it. I think he's important for people to know about.
Yes, definitely.
And yeah, and I really appreciate, you know, you talking about your sister.
Yeah.
And like how, you know, looking at the front door as a relationship record and
yeah.
the mom of Main Source making that happen. Yeah. Like, it's a little bit of my mission to like show rather than tell.
Yeah, definitely.
How complicated and inclusive hip hop is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have a question from Producer's Corner. Mm-hmm. What did the feature of Filter do for you?
Wow. Well, filtering, I, with going uptown to Mount Vernon and hooking up with Pete Rock, like Pete Rock was, he was kind of the one that, like Pete Rock was like an early genius. A lot of the techniques, even to this day, like those are Pete Rock things, like on the MPC now, how you can chop up into like, you know, eighths or and things like that. Like Pete is the one that kind of came up with that and slowing it down and all this kind of stuff. So we were sharing tricks. Like I would come in, I would be doing SP1200. SP1200. It was the decay and it was the volume, whatever the volume thing was. It was like where you could do the echoes, like like I would do that on all of my beats, and we would just trade these little things we would do with the beats. But Pete Rock kind of like with the filter, and it was like, wow, like that's kind of crazy. And so I took that. I was like, yo, we filtering now, and just like that was crazy, because now you could just get the bass out of a record. Like, I mean, but that's, you know, Jamaican, that's the roots. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you going to the dub, they just take all the highs mm-hmm. out, or, you know, take all the bottom out. So definitely, like, yeah, filtering was crazy. And then that bass added that rush. You know what I mean? Like, you just like, yeah. And, you know, on the train and everything, like, just, yeah, that's it.
Did you feel like, so was it Pete that introduced the fact that you could do it, like, in this sort of universe, or?
Yeah, definitely.
So did you instantly think of all the records that you never touched because of?
Yes. And then, you know, you just hear records, and it's like, oh, that bass line right there. And just now you hearing, like, you know, like, yeah, definitely Pete Rock. And then I showed a premiere on the 950. You know, I was like, yo, you know, the filter and all of that. And just like that, at that time, like I said, we come from that each one teach one, and just, you know, that kind of thing. So it was like, you know, I have this record, or, you know, so we were kind of sharing like just all of those things. Like, but Pete was the one. He would be like, wow, like, yo, you be like, yo, what bass line is that? We always be quizzing each other. You know what bass line that is? Like, nah, yo. It's like, oh, like, ah, that's crazy. That kind of thing. So, yeah.
Has there been any other technological sort of innovation that's made you excited, like filtering
with
in the past?
Filtering.
I don't know, maybe a like lot, 15
a lot
years.
Of, yeah, I mean, well... We'll take it out of you know, beat making, but just like I'm really happy about Serato. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, yo, nah, I'm happy about that, because I actually carried crates. I carried crates on the train. You know what I mean? So I'm serious, like, for real. So I'm like, Serato, just to have a laptop full of songs is a blessing for me.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's like, not the taxi, on the train with the crates.
Word, understand? On the train,
and
on the train.
That don't live in New York need to know, that's stairs up and down.
Yeah, stairs up, down. I mean, and to add on to that, I mean, just to make you laugh a little bit more, let's say let's say it was maybe 5 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like going, this is a biz session I'm talking about. Like just biz always worked like 6 in the morning. You know what I mean? Like this is when he started his sessions and he's always like, yo, bring some records. You know, so I'm always, so that, you know, so Serato, you know, a lot of just this one touch technology. Like I love it. Like the drum machines now, you can press one button and chop the whole, mm-hmm. you know, everything like the MPC, the Renaissance now and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Like I'm really excited about all of that stuff. And like, I just can't wait until they make everything wireless now, where mm-hmm. now we can just wireless, like where now, you know, the door, you know, we can use the door with no wires now. Like, all right, cool. Like now you got your digi, and it's not even hooked up to anything. It's just like wireless. Like that's what I'm like. I want to live to see that day where there's no wires anymore. No wires. That would be nice.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
I thought you meant so like you didn't even have to carry your laptop.
Oh,
hands free.
Nah. Come on. We gotta do something now. You know what I mean? Just there are people that DJ like that. They just press play and that, you know, that's that. Mm-hmm. Nah, but I still like to, you know, kind of touch the record. And I just did an all 45 session down at Mobile Mondays, just on Mondays. So,
yeah. Yo, he kicked my butt in Toronto with a
nah.
Yeah, he did.
Nah, I was like,
nah,
yo.
Nah.
I don't even remember what year that was. That might have been like 07, 08, 06.
It was for the people. We weren't even going. We were side by side, and I played a certain way, and he played a certain way, and the people had fun.
Okay.
And that's all that mattered. The people had fun. You know what I mean? Everybody had fun in the end, and they were coming up to both of us like, yo, we love y'all. Like, and it's like, yeah, you know, now he wanted to bring it to, yo,
When I say kick my butt, I don't mean it was an intentional, like, oh, yo, you came here to stomp me out, like, sort of a thing. Yeah. It was just like, yo, I thought we were going to go back and forth just based
right,
on what they told
what
me.
I thought too,
and then he
yeah.
was like, yo, you might want to get yours in because I'm going to go in.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, yeah. cool. But, yo, I loved your set, man.
Yo, I loved yours too, man. I'm like, yo, man, Ali, he got, you know, all the girls. I'm like, now, if you could, you know, you could get the women rocking now, you know, you the man. So I'm like, yo. Then, you know, I start playing now. All the girls kind of start, you know, and now the dudes are coming. I'm like, oh, man, like,
what
ladies,
you guys
please.
Play?
Yo, this set was amazing.
What was it?
Phenomenal.
Now I'm playing all this crazy Mobb Deep, all this dark, crazy, you know, and Ali, you know, he rocking. He got it rocking. He playing a mixture of everything, and I'm just coming through like,
it was raw. I was like, yo. I wish I had a tape of that set. It was so amazing.
Some funny stuff. That was a nice night, though. And, it's just good just in hip-hop that, you know, we are even in the same region, like, DJing together. Yep. And just who would have ever thought, you know? So that's something just, like I said, I bring it back to MC Shan. We living in the world of hip-hop, yo. I love it.
One more question on production tip. I noticed that you're now doing full-out instrumentals.
Yes, sir.
On your records.
Yes, sir.
What's the inspiration? Because I know, like, there was always little snippets of a little piece. And I didn't
how
know
we
if
were
that,
doing before.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't know if that was just, you know, because, you know, so excited, like, I got to give them a taste of this little piece, or more so like a sample clearance thing now, but just like now, it seems like you just doing, like,
just an instrumental.
It's full instrumentals. I love that. What brought that on?
That's just to break up the rapidy rap for a minute. Like, you know, rap, you know, and I'm still one of those, I guess I don't know what you would call it, but I like the rapidy rap a lot. I like to, you know, kind of thing. I'm not as cool as these dudes today. Like, dudes are like, yo, bro. You know what I mean? Like, that's how they rap today. You know what I mean? I'm just like, yo, in the NC, you know, that's how I'm still on it like that. So, you know, sometimes that could be a little overload for the listener. So I'm just kind of trying to think of the listener and not, well, you know, this is what I want to say. You know, I'm kind of like, let me give you a break for a second to give you an instrumental in between these things.
Well, yeah. I always appreciate your rhymes because you're a poet too. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that, point blank.
And I think that just comes from where we come from, the schooling.
Definitely.
I don't know if you really should be touching the microphone if you can't.
If you can't raise your element of artistry to this here.
So I know it's different nowadays and I accept where it is.
Yeah.
But just, you know, just to go on a couple of your lyrics that always, like, you say things that make me laugh. And,
for the art of being,
you know, like a MC to me and rapping on a record is
cadence.
It's, cadence is important in how you put the right phrasing of words in the rhythms and stuff like that. I'm like, yo, you just do it. It just comes off like butter. It's just so smooth the way you
say certain
things. So one thing you said, and I just want to chill, you said sitting and thinking about the time I wrote four stacks of rhymes
for dimes.
Makes me want to go back
to doing crimes. Right.
On the corner. So
it's industry and industry, like just the industry getting to me. Like you have a certain... When you know, in those times, you had a certain way you thought about the industry. You like, all right, well, I'm skilled. I'm nice at this, so I'll be good in the industry. And then you get in the industry, and you're like, all right, everybody, I'm here, and I got bridges in my songs, and everything's in key, it's together and everything. And then something happens where it's like your album was bootlegged or... You know, and you put all of this work into this stuff, and then you know, and you go into the record company, like, well, how did it get bootlegged, and what's up? Like, this is, you know, everyone's coming up to me, like, yo, this is crazy. Like, these songs are great. Like, you know, and you going in, like, this should be gold. Mm. Like, this is what's going. So, like, I got the shock of my life getting into the industry because I thought it was all about skills. Like, yo. All right, if you got the skills, you're gonna get out there. And then once I found out that business part was bigger than the show, I just started writing about it and just like, so it was like sitting, thinking about the times, around four stacks of rounds for dimes, maybe want to go back to doing crimes on the corner, kind of like, you know, because that industry was just like, you know, and you can't wild out in the industry. You can't go in the office. Like, there are stories of people going in, like, rah, rah, you know, banging on the table. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'll just write about it and just, you know.
Or opening a bag of rattlesnakes or snakes. Snakes on a shout out to Tretch. We all know the story. another song, Hungry. You said busting out the woodworks. On all rap jerks.
Yeah.
That's how you open the song.
Yeah, yeah.
So colorful.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
It's a simple phrase, but it's just.
Out the woodworks on all rap jerks. It's me, Lars Pro. Like, yo. I mean, you know, just how we speak, like, it's what bugs me out is I think I may be the first person to say kosher on a record, like in Front Door. Like, we fight every night. Now, that's not kosher. Like, and that's just how we, you know, you got your sly guy that you know, like, I know in Flushing, Queens, where I came from, like, we're right down the block from the sphere, you know, the globe. So it's like, I don't know, something about that town is just like, it's just like Olympiad, like, kind of like, we wanted to jump the highest. We wanted to talk the slickest. We wanted to, you know, just this wit, just this funny talk. Like, you know, it was just all over in Flushing. So I guess I'm kind of a product of that.
Environment. You know?
It just,
it's so entertaining to me. It's like, it's filling because...
No, but Brooklyn is the, like, that's the slickest. Like, Big.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Like, you know, so... It wasn't only, you know, but definitely, like, yeah, I think it was just that, you know.
Where we come from.
Yeah,
that New York thing.
Yes,
definitely a New York thing.
Yes.
You know, it's just, but it's like you drop knowledge in your stuff and you drop some, like, you drop the more, like, maybe the big brother, you got the big brother, the little brother, and I'm like, yo, you know it's trouble where we are, but I'm telling you,
dun. Right.
So it comes from like that big brother, but then also it's kind of like fatherly, sort of
right,
like
fatherly
like,
the
you know.
Grandfatherly. Son.
But it's kind of like, you know, it's from the street, you know, it's a street wit. There's that, you know, straight Wall Street wit.
Yeah.
But then there's that, I'm going to bust your ass right. if you don't understand. Like, you really need to understand what this is, sort of a situation. So, classic emergency. He said, microphone strangling. When I kicks butt, I like to get my whole ankle in.
I forgot about that.
That's funny. I mean, it's, you know, it's just extremities of nonsense, talking slick, you know, like what rhymes with dangling, and then just, you start getting into the words, and it's like, all right, well, I'm going to kind of distort this a little bit and say ankle in, like just dumb.
It's dope though.
Hey, it's dope. Thank you, brother.
Because
man.
Because it's like, who would have thought of that?
You
know what I mean?
Thank you.
to bend it that way. So, and it's such an illustration.
Right. That's funny. That's good that someone appreciates that kind of stuff too. Cause that's big. That's big. Like coming from where we come from. Like that's one. That was one. Like G Rap. I come from that school. Mm-hmm. Just like Nas. Like G Rap would say something crazy like that. Like as many fellas I rock, yo, they would call me Rockefeller. Mm-hmm. Like he's like we come from that school. So it's like yo. Okay, it can rhyme, but make sure you saying something witty or slick, or you saying like some real something outrageous, like wow, like you know, and that's what Nas like. Just we from that school.
Last one, and I'm gonna let it go. Mm-hmm. From Still Not the Hustle, you say another angle, brim on the Kango.
Yeah,
like it's just the way you bent.
Right.
Angles to Kango.
Yeah. Another angle.
And it was just, again, another, it's just very descriptive.
Yeah.
Because that says to me, like, New York.
Yeah.
You know, and the picture, you know, like.
Right,
just,
right.
I mean, it's a picture. It's a clear picture. I don't know if it's because I'm a New Yorker and I just.
Right.
You know, I understand what that is, but just, you know, Kangos were, that was like the hat. That was the hip hop hat.
That's the hip hop hat. Yeah. So
we know there was that FUBU Gap ad. It got out. Remember that?
No.
LL's. Am I remembering this right? LL's Gap
he
ad.
He was definitely FUBU.
And he
and
wore
Gap,
the FUBU and the Kangol, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
And everywhere.
I mean that stuff is, you know, just when you're writing for so many years, it's like a nice little treat. It's just a treat. Like, just bugging out. I swear, if this stuff, if I didn't, like, I'm glad that you can just put words together and you can put these, because that's, I kind of live through that kind of stuff. Like, I really live through this music like that. If I couldn't do that, I don't even know where or what, you know, because that stuff keeps me alive. Just thinking, just like, and it's funny because the other day I did a feature for my dude Esoteric up in Boston. They just said, so I did a feature for him, and he hit me back. He's like, yo, man, this is why I love you, man. He's like, yo, man, you rhyme lyrics with earaches. Mm-hmm. I was like, I appreciate that, man. So I'm like, It's fun. It's like crossword puzzles, even making beats. It's like crossword puzzles. It's like, all right, this piece, that piece, that piece. And like growing up, my grandmother, she would sit there all day and just do crossword puzzles. And, you know, it was like a mental family, like all these sayings in my house, you know, God bless the child. You know, it was always a saying for something. You know, if the sun shines, this, you know, it was always a saying. It was always a saying for everything. So it was like, I was just kind of, I guess, prim and prep for all of this that I'm doing now.
That's amazing. So mom and dad rocking all sorts of soulful music, sister.
Yeah.
Blessing you with the hip-hop,
the disco,
all of that. Yeah. Everything that you've done, as I said, y'all, your hip-hop royalty.
I appreciate that.
What is the next generation of you, meaning your offspring.
Oh.
What kind of kind of household?
Oh, this is that it's wild because my daughter Jillian, oh wow, she is like she can say my lyrics. That's kind of why I kind of like she can say my lyrics. Like she has my lyrics down. And it's funny, one time I was DJing at Brooklyn Bowl and I don't know, it's just always been this habit I've had, like, just if I have the mic, like, here, take the mic, like, and just real quick, like, and I'll even surprise them, yo, take the mic, say something. And I gave her the mic, and she wasn't even supposed to be in Brooklyn Bowl. I think she was, like, 10 years old or something like that. She's like, yo, if y'all like my daddy, Large Professor, make some noise. Like, so she's a natural, and I'm just, it's kind of scary sometimes, because, like, she, like, one time I took a picture of her, and I took the picture, and she just got into this pose, and I didn't even tell her. I didn't, so I'm like, wow, this is going to be something. So that, I mean, along with a whole host of other people that I've been mentoring and just all of that, like, hip-hop is definitely going to be I just did a workshop in the Bronx also with some children that were, I guess, in between homes, like kind of on some shelter, like mm-hmm. kind of thing. And just like the guys, the little kids were break dancing and everything. And like just the rhymes and just the interest they had was just, it gave me a good feeling because it was like, yes, hip hop is traditional hip hop. Mm. Grassroots hip hop is alive and well and will always forever be strong, definitely.
That's your high note, Franny.
Yeah, well, I just want to say thank you because listening to those Easter eggs, that's what I live for.
Yes.
That feeling when you hear it the first time.
Yes.
And you, like, embarrass yourself on the train.
Right, right.
That's my good day.
That's real.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Peace.